Okay. Good morning. We're up to Pasuk Tes, Perek Beis, Pasuk Tes on page 558. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyah Bedvarayim. Okay, the Pasuk says, V'ninve Kivreich Asmayim Mi Mei Hi. Ninve is a place of springs of water. Mi Mei Hi V'heimo Nosim. That's an unusual expression. If you look on the Metzudos Sion, it says it means lashon of miyamim yamima, lashon of days. Even though it's like a play on words. Here, I think Nachum was trying to imitate Micha, right? Look at the trap. The trap is under the first mem. Mime. It's an unusual expression. Okay, what? It's like mimei kedem. Yeah. It's like, so over here, even though the word over here is mayim, and it's taking that same word, but over here we're playing with it and referring to, this was a city that had pools of water from years ago. Mishonim kadmonios, from time immemorial. Veheima nosim, and the people of the city, the question over here is they going back on the water, or is it going on the people? The simple understanding is we're going on the people. The hema nasim, they're fleeing. Imdu amoidu ve'ein mafne. They stand. All of this has to be understood. We'll read the Mitzvahs in a few moments. They stand. Two expressions of standing, and they do not move. Let's see another part. We'll come back to everything, of course, in one moment. Bozu chesef, bozu zahav. The spoil. Lashon of biza, the silver, the gold, the ein. There is no end. Kates means an end to the preparation. This was what we had before. The word tichuna comes from the word hachana. Kavoid mikol klichemda. It is more desirous, more beautiful than all utensils. All utensils. We'll have to see what this means in one moment. Let's just do one more part. The three psukim together. Buka umivuka umivulaka. The city is now empty, has been completely emptied out. And people's hearts have melted. Ufik birkayim, their legs have become weak. There is terror a spasm of terror that goes down their spine into their loins. Ufnechulam kibitzu farur, and all of the people are dressed in pots. The word farur is a word you have in the Gemara very often. Baparur, in pots. Okay, we did already three psukim. Let's take a look over here. Let's take a look and get a better appreciation of these three psukim. Let's go back to the Mitzudas David on page 55. Mitzudas David. Yeah, there's a play. There's a play on the words. There's a play. Okay, let's go back and see one thing at a time. Let's go back to page 559. In the Mitzudas David, and now go through the words of these three difficult psukim with the Mitzudas David. V'ninveh, v'hinei. Ninveh miyamim kadmoinim, hi hoysam alei kol tov. Back in the day, Ninveh was a city which was blessed. Kivreich asmayim. Now notice over here, kivreich asmayim, kivreich asmayim. He's adding in a very important word. Obviously, when you have a pasuk like this that is very cryptic, and it's very hard to read, the only way you can make sense of the pasuk is by injecting words into the pasuk that does not say to make sense out of the pasuk. That's obviously very dangerous, because once you start adding words into the pasuk, who knows what you're going to end up adding into the pasuk. And the first one over here to take the liberty to do just that is the Mitzudas David. And he says, it was Malaya Kol Tov, he adds in V'ninveh, is Kivrech Asmayim. That's the ultimate blessing. The ultimate blessing is to have springs of water, a natural source of water. So he says, and going back to his parish, it had every possible blessing, and the symbol for that is kiv reich asmayim hamalei Allah, just like a pool of water which is filled. The Hema Nosim, prepare. That ends according to the Mitzudas David. That ends the sentence. Ninveh, we're giving you some background. In order to appreciate the destruction, we have to appreciate what existed originally. It was a place that was Molei Bracha. And the symbol of something that's mole bracha is a berecha of mayim in the understanding of the Mitzudois David. And these words that we just read now are explosive because it opens up a whole new bayer in the story of Yitzchak. Yitzchak dug four wells. He dug one well, or really Avraham dug the wells. And Yitzchak went and he dug the wells. And what happened? The Plishtim came to fight, to battle. No, lanu hamayim, it's ours. And then they dug a second well. And Nochamal, they no good. And finally they came and they gave him the Besur Toiva. We've dug a well and no one's contending, no one's taking it away from us. And they settled there. Okay, I don't remember all the psukim in heart, but Mayevsky is the expert on the psukim. But the story in Yitzchak, there we have an elaborate story where there were three wells, and the three wells represent, what do they represent? What is it all about?
The three wells.
There was contention. There was argument. Even though the wells were really dug by Avraham Avinu, and there was a big fight over those wells. And finally, when he dug the fourth well, the Avimelech let him alone, and the Klal Yisrael took the well, and they were very happy. What is this all about? What's going on over here? Another point of reference is that Chazal say all of the shidduchim of the Avos took place by wells. Yitzchak, well, not all. We do not know what happened by Avraham Avinu. That's a very big mystery. How did Avraham meet his wife? Who was the Shatran? It was his niece. But they all were cousins. Even when it comes to Yaakov and Rachel and Leah, they're all relatives. And Yitzchak and Rivka, they're all relatives. But still, there was some story. There was always a story behind the Shidduch. B'li yotzei min haklal. And the Torah never tells us even one iota, one hint as to, that's essentially no hint. There's Yiska, there are a few little tidbits here and there, but we don't really know much about the Shidduch of Avraham and Sarah. We'll put that aside for now, but we do know about Yitzchak and Rivka, and we do know about Yaakov and Rachel and Leah, and we do know about Moshe Rabbeinu and Tzipora, and the common denominator of these three are the Shidduchim took place by a well. And again, the four and Yitzchak with the Polishtim, it's a long story, and it's very, very disturbing. What in the world is going on? A well. So you learn Nachum, and you read this pasuk, V'ninveh kivrechas mayim, and you look in the Mitzudas David, and he says these words make absolutely no sense, and the only way to make sense out of these words is to inject a couple of words inside and say, Ninveh was the place to be. Ninveh was mole bracha. It had every possible blessing you can want, just like the ultimate symbol of blessing. And what is that? Kiv Rechas Mayim, a pool of water. A pool of water, in Nachum's understanding, in his words, represents the ultimate blessing. Wow, I never knew that. Sorry? The same word, Brecha. Baruch. Baruch comes from Brecha. Brecha, Baruch. Very good. Excellent. Baruch is the same Sharish that we say, Baruch Hatu Hashem, Lachinu Melech Olam. What does it mean, Baruch? Hashem, you are blessed. Hashem does not need our blessing. What do we do when we make a Bracha? So many of the comments, there are many Perushim as to what this means, but one of the very popular interpretations is Baruch. The Makar for Baruch is a spring. And we are, it's an acknowledgement. Hashem does not need us to bless him. Hashem doesn't need anything. Rather, we need to appreciate that our blessing, the fact that we have in front of us a cup of water, is a gift from Hashem. Hashem, you are the Berecha. You are the source. You're like a spring of water that never stops flowing. You are the source of blessing, and the Berecha represents the source, represents blessing. So we have here a very potent reminder in this pasuk that a berecha of mayim represents material blessing. And Ninveh had it all, kivrechas mayim. And this gives us a much greater appreciation of a shidduch, a zivug. A zivug is the ultimate blessing for a person. A person has a wife, Chazal took all the milas, I can tell you now, all the shev brachas Torah now. Okay, go through all the things, but Chazal say that a person's only satisfaction in life is through his wife. All bracha comes through in the koyach of a zivugim. That is why that Avraham, I mean, I love to say Yitzchak and Yaakov and Moshe, the Torah tell us that their lives were built on a foundation of marriage, of a mishpach, of a family to whom Hashem selected for them. And the story takes place against the backdrop of a well. And likewise, Yitzchak, when he acquired his wealth, Yitzchak was the richest of all the others. Yaakov was dirt poor. Avram Avinu later in life became successful, okay, but he had to work for it. But Yitzchak, it says right away, it says over and over all different parts of his life that he was very successful. He says there, Mea Sha'arim, they planted and they discovered there, they planted and the earth produced 100 times more than they expected. Wow, what an investment. Unbelievable. And likewise, and then they talk about the wells. What's all the wells about? Yitzchak, he was a businessman. He told his people, go and dig a well. Let's go dig for gold. Let's go, in other words, let's go and be successful. In business, whatever it was, and we'll build our, and the Chazal said those wells were really the wells of Avraham Avinu. And no, the Goyim stole his money. They put on taxes, regulations, did everything they can possibly do to prevent him from becoming successful. They invented socialism. And then the second round, they invented communism. And then they invented, I don't know, some other type of government which took everything away. And finally, he came to America. He came to the Rehovos. He came to Rehovos, and there was no regulation, there was no taxes, there was no trouble, and they struck it rich, and he was extremely successful. So we see that the word brecha is a symbol of a well that has water, a spring or a well, they are very much related, these two, represents prosperity, material blessing. Yeah.
It is a peace of mind, because when we left in Egypt, we were complaining there is no water 2 times.
Excellent, correct. We came right after Shiras Hayam. Immediately they complained we have no water. And then a miracle happened, they came to a place where there were 12 springs.
Yeah,
the Tamarim. Exactly. So water represents blessing. Okay, so therefore we have over here a very beautiful pasuk. So Avinu was blessed. Just like Kiv Rechas Mayim. Next words of the Mitzvah David. Kiv Rechas Mayim Hamalei Allah, like a spring of water that is filled. Veheim Anasim. Now we begin a new sentence. And the new sentence says it has all come to an end. How has it come to an end? The Ata now, Heim Anasim, Ma'anichim Kol Oishar, the people have to abandon all of their assets as they flee for their lives. Imdu amoidu, im ki hamelech v'hasarim yitzaku lomo sonusu. Imdu, stand, v'hilochamu mul oyev, and fight opposite the enemy, aval ein mi poine el hakarim, no one is paying attention to the command of the king, v'lo yoivu lihilochem, they do not want to fight. The Mitzvah David is very creative here, and he translates, imdu amoidu is a command of the king. The king of Nineveh has issued a proclamation, no one dare leave the country. Everyone report to duty. I'm calling you all up to the reserves. If you go and you leave, you're gonna be a court-martialed for abandoning the country. Imdu amoidu, a double expression, stay put. But guess what? The ein mafne. No one is turning themselves in to the office of the army to report for duty.
Yeah.
Mafna means to turn, because they couldn't care less what the king says. They think he lost his mind, and they're all going to die. They're running for their lives. Okay, they are, what's the word? Well, how do they say in English? If you rebel against, you are?
AWOL?
But there's another word.
Deserters.
Deserters, right. That's right. They're deserters. They're deserters of the king. That's exactly how it's. Let's chaz the pasuk. The Nineveh is a city that was, we're in a word, was blessed with every possible blessing. just like kivrei chasmaim, just like a pool of water is a symbol of prosperity, and this was mimehi from shonim kadmonios. It wasn't just a new blessing from this year, last year, the last decade. This goes back, who knows, maybe even 1,000 years. Who knows how long they were? It was known to be the city of blessing. Yet, period, that all now has come to an end. The people are terrified. Nebuchadnezzar is knocking on the door. Vehema, the citizens, Nosim, they're running for their lives. The king has issued a proclamation. He has sent out a text, sent out email, WhatsApp message, sent out you name it. It's people, posters on the street and newspapers. Don't you dare leave. Imdu amoydu. But guess what? The Ein Mafne, no one is paying attention, no one is turning themselves in, turning to the army, to where they belong, to report for duty, because they're afraid for their lives. Pasuk Yud.
In Hebrew, deserter, what you mentioned, is arik, somebody who...
Arik.
Arik.
To
and
pick yourself up.
Comes from the Aramaic, I see that Yonatan says, Imun araku.
They're running away. Very good. It's very, the modern Hebrew word is taking it from the Aramaic, to run away, to pick yourself up.
In war,
especially we're unique in war to a deserter. Pasuk Yud, in the Mitzvot of David, Boizu Chesed, Atem Anshei Kastim, Shilu, here's the, now Hashem is speaking. The one that is speaking now is the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hashem is telling Nebuchadnezzar and his army, the Kastim. Nebuchadnezzar is the king of Babel.
Other side.
Other side, right. We're now switching, we're the third switch. First, we start with Nineveh. Then we talk about the people, the deserters. Now we're talking about Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar, who is speaking? Hashem is speaking through Nahum and telling Nebuchadnezzar, go for it. Bozu chesef, atem anshe kastim. Notice there's a small point that the Mitzvah is always very clear to say that the soldiers of Nebuchadnezzar are called the kastim. Bavel has two, in ancient times, had two different kingdoms. They were the Bavel, and they were the Kastim. They're not the same. They have a different genetic makeup. They're not the same. The Babylonians were more the aristocracy. They represented the aristocracy. They were pampered. They were chashuvim. And the Kastim were looked down as being lowlifes. They were looked down as being the lowlifes. They were the mercenaries. They cleaned the streets. They did all the dirty work. And when you sent in an army to do on a suicide mission, you sent in the Kastim. The Kastim went in to do the dirty. We couldn't kill less, and they got killed. And then when everything, all the dust settled, walks in Bavel, Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Bavel. So they're related. The Kastim, for some reason, were very loyal. They were part of the big picture called Bavel. But Bavel really is broken down. I give many, many examples of this. It's a very important idea to understand, to break them down into two different parts. And you always will see them in Farshim. When we're talking about doing the dirty work, we're talking about the Kastim. Mm-hmm. It seems they were barbarians. Worse than pagans. They were just total bloodthirsty people who had absolutely no values, morals. It sounds almost like the Crusaders. When you read about the Crusaders, the first crusade, there was the king, how to go, there was the church, the church, right? The Pope Urban II, and his chaverim, whatever, and he gives this nice speech, eloquent speech. And then who comes, shows up? The biggest lowlives. Who did the dirty work? The lowlives. There were 60,000 soldiers or even citizens that they couldn't kill. You have to study the history. It's not exactly clear every detail, but you get the impression the people there, they couldn't care less what the church has to say. All they know is that the church is telling them to go kill and plunder and go on a chalamoy trip. Okay, and have some fun. That's the way they did that. They're religious. Yeah, the Pope gave it a religious flavor, but the people that were actively involved were so far from religion. It was nothing just but an opportunity to keep themselves busy. And in fact, some of the commentators who study the First Crusade claim that was also one of the many reasons and many things which came together. Because these people, they were so wild. They were a threat to the church. These people can, if they wanted to, they can just one day come and just destroy the whole, because they were bloodthirsty Mishagayim. So let's keep them busy. Let's get them out of here. Send them on a mission. Send them 3,000 miles away. They shouldn't bother us. That was one of, I mean, it's very complex, obviously. What was it all about? Okay, Dr. Friedman, you gave me some good books. I still have them. Okay, I'm quoting from those books. Multiple things were taking place at this time, which all came together, and it was the perfect storm to produce this mission, this thing called the Crusades. And you get it, when you study about Bavel and Bavel, you get the same impressions. Almost like Bavel was the church, and the Kastim were the soldiers, the Crusaders. The Crusaders was not the church. The Crusaders were the common people. Were hilarious, barbarians. They were the Crusaders, and who gave them the Hechsher? The church. It was the same thing. Bavel was like the church, and the Kastim were the warriors. Were just thugs that were all were pleased to go on this mission. So let's continue. So now we have a command, Bozu Chesed, Atem Anshe Kastim, Shililu HaKesev VeHaZahav. I'm giving you a command, I want you to despoil, to take all the silver and the gold, the Ein Soif El Ho'isher, Shetikhu. There is no end to the wealth that you will acquire. Me'asher Heichinu Anshe Ninve Li'atzmam. So now he has the word Latechuna. The word Latechuna is related to the word Hachona. Is to prepare, preparation. When you go to work, you're preparing. You are acquiring wealth. That is called hachana. So it says here, I'm giving you permission to steal the silver and to steal the gold, and there's no end to the wealth, to the assets that you're going to be able to acquire for yourself. We're calling the word latechuna. Next, kavod. This is an amazing parish, what he says here. There you will find something that is greater than any desirable object. You know what's the greatest thing? Kovod. What's more valuable in this world? A person can have two things, only one of two things. Either you have a lot of kovod or a lot of money. What would you take? I would take money. Oh, exactly. So the average person would probably say, I want money. I need money. I want money. That's right. I don't care about kovod. So what's interesting, though, is that, and what do you do when you have the money? What do many people do with money? They buy kovod. Look at Bloomberg. Meshuggah, mamash meshuggah. $750 million down the tubes. Okay, not down the tubes. I guess you can argue that he stimulated the economy because all of these people work for him. I don't know. Where's all the money going to go now? It's going to filter out through society? Don't ask me. I don't know. But whatever his main goal was, kovod. I want to be the president of the United States. So he gave $750 million to Gewalt. For what? For kovod. So when you have a lot of money, what do you do next? You take the money to buy kovod. So kovod is, who said, it says this in this passage over here. It says that kovod is more valuable, mikol kli chemda. I'm telling you now, go and take for yourself all of their silver, all of their gold, there's no end latichuna to the wealth, the items that the people of Nineveh have prepared, have acquired, accumulated since from time immemorial. But guess what? That's not the prize. The prize will be that you'll go down in history as the victors, as the people who won the war, as the winners. You'll be awarded the gold medal, the kovod, the gold medal that you conquered Nineveh, and that satisfaction, that honor, is greater mikol kli chemda than any object you're going to find in this country. Wow, what a statement. Nachum really understands psychology. He really understands what gets people going. Yeah?
Right, but doesn't Let me see the word kavod somewhere else. Something like kol kavod
hazeh. Yosef said to his brothers, go tell my father all of the kavod that... That you witnessed here. Now you're touching upon something very, very interesting, because there was a very popular verse in that pasuk, which is a contradiction to what it says over here. And what am I referring to? The word kavod in Chumash Bereishis is used twice. It says, I think by Avraham or by Lot, it says the word kavod in reference to his assets. Mm-hmm. Who's that pasuk by? The Avraham kaved meod by kesef mikneh, and then it says the word that's kaved, and then it used in the form of kavod. The pasuk uses it again in that context. It's written the word kavod, and it's spelled with a vav. Or maybe not. I'm getting all mixed up now. And then Yosef, when he tells his brother, I want you to go tell my father all of the kavod that you see here in Eden. I think there it's spelled with a vav.
There is a reason for that.
Oh, so
I think
what?
By Yosef, when he's explaining.
There is a vav.
When he's complaining to Ashes Potiphar.
Okay, so if I'm not mistaken, you have to go back and check the details. When Yosef tells his brothers, I want you to go home and tell my father about all of my kavod, it is spelled with a vav. With a vav. Mole. And when it's used elsewhere in Bereishis, it's spelled without a vav. And the commentators explained, if I'm not mistaken, that there are two types of kavod. There is money, assets, and then there is spiritual kavod, dignity, or you achieve your purpose, success in fulfilling your life mission. That is a good kavod. Money is without a vav. It's not kavod. It's a burden. Kaved. The word kavod without a vav can be pronounced kaved. Wealth is a burden. It's a burden. You have a responsibility. What are you going to do with it? Marbe nechosim, marbe daigo. Person has a lot of wealth, he's a target. People come after him, they want his money. He has to worry, what's going to be with this, what's going to be with that. Dvarm shutim ad me'oid. Marbe nechosim, marbe daiga. That's kavod without a vav. It seems like, wow, you're a rich man. You're very successful, you have whatever you want. It's a big burden, there's a price to pay. The kavod can be a kavod. But then there is kavod mole with a vav. And that has a whole different flavor. It means I have real honor. I'm the real ezehu mechubad hamechabed. Yosef was a mechubad. He was the mishneh lemelech. How did Yosef use his role, his position of being a mishneh lemelech? To be mechabed the ribonoi shaloylam. He taught the people about yados. He taught them about bris milah. He taught them about you know, vayonos vayetzi achutza. This was in the newspapers. Who in the world in Egypt would do something like that? Vayonos vayetzi achutza. No one's watching. No one's there. It's like it's not real. It's unbelievably not real. Vayonos. He taught the world. He shocked them by teaching them about morals, ethics. Ribbono shel Olam, go back to my father and tell them about my kavod. What you think Yosef is saying here, show my father how rich I am. Show him how many cars I have, how many private jets, how many mansions. Really? That's what Yosef would say to his brothers to go tell his father. His father would be impressed. Look, Dad, I did well here in Egypt. Come on, that's impossible. So what then is the pshutei shel mikra? Look at the word. It spells kavod with a vav. And when it's kavod with a vav, it doesn't mean kavod. You can't pronounce it kavod, a burden. It means real honor. What is real honor? Real honor is a zehu mechubad hamechabed. A person that uses his position of honor, his wealth, in order to help other people, to give other people honor. Mechabedes, mechabedes habriyos, mechabedes ribayin shalaylam, that was Yosef. Now you take that and inject it here into this pasuk, and it says, Nachum says, kavod mikol kli chemda. Who's he talking to? He's talking to barbarians. The kastim were the lowest of the law. There was nothing beneath them that they wouldn't do. By them, there's no such thing as kavod with a vav. Couldn't care less. All they want is money and honor. What kind of honor? They want to be in every elementary school on the wall, picture of them, they were the 45th president of the United States. I remember, when I was in elementary, we had a nice poster in the classroom of all the presidents. Right? I always think the tafkid of a person in America is he should get into the next slot. So the next generation, the next generation should see, all the school children should see his picture, all the president of the United States. Oh, there's one more slot, and who's in that slot? You are in that slot. Isn't that what does it mean? Because anyway, what could a president already do anyway today? Okay, you're tied down by Congress, by everything. Most of the decisions is like, you know, there's not all that much a president. You know, you have to be very clever, very, very clever to be able to use your position to make real change in this country. It's not just enough to get there. You can be a great, charismatic person to get into that seat, into the Oval Office, but then you need pikhus to actually change the culture, to change the culture. It's zeloi, correct? Zeloi poshut. It's like they say the Baradichava says. The Baradichava says, the Eibishta firzach the welt, ruba deruba. Ruba deruba. He leaves a little bit for you to make trouble. Ruba deruba. Everything is bashart. You're born into a certain family. You're born into a certain community. You have a natural predisposition to seek employment in a certain type of field. Everything. Your wife is bashert. Everything is already. So what room do you have left in this world? Hakol bidei shamayim chutz mitzinim upachem. Except for cold and hot. Okay, viruses. Make sure you don't catch a virus. Achmana litzlan. How much left is there for you to do already in this world? Very little. The Eibishter of Israel, ruba de ruba. But there's a little bit left for you. A little bit left for you, but you have to be very, very clever. Very, very persistent, clever, awake at the switch to find those moments, those few moments in your life where you can actually do something that will make a real difference, and you can say it was your doing. Because most of your life, let's face it, for every single person in this world, all of the decisions have been done for you already. You're just going through the motions of life. How many decisions in your life can you really say, you know, this is me, this is my contribution to myself, to this world? Okay, so that.
Look at the pasuk; it's a beautiful one. I see mainly Elokim, le'av le'paro, le'adon le'chol beito, u'moshel b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. So it's complete. The whole package.
The whole package.
Elokim. He's in Elokim.
He's an Elokim.
It's amazing.
And yet he's using. He says, "Tell my father my covenant." And here it's he says kavod also, but here there's no vav. Here it says kavod because there's a big difference between the barbarians of the kastim who have nothing, no concept of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Yosef, other extreme, which understands that everything that he has is nothing more than a tool to be mechaber Hashem, to improve this world, to bring to this world Yirat Shamayim. And ezehu mechubad mechabed, kavoid choser and kavoid mole. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk.
When every day we say we are osher, we are kavod milefanecha, we are asking Hashem to give us first
money, just like in this pasuk.
And after that, it is the order.
Very good.
Same order,
because but you cannot. The reality of this world is if you don't have money, you're a nobody.
I can't say the
if you don't have money, who's going to pay attention to a person that has no money? Money talks. That's the evil of this world. You can be the biggest Talmud Chacham. You can be everything. If you don't have money, by the vast majority of the world, if you don't have money, there's nothing to talk about. They will not give you, forget about a second look. They won't even give you a first look. So here, Hashem is telling the people, Boizu Chesef, Boizu Zahav, steal all their money. Take it for yourself. There's no end to what you'll be able to take away, all of the wealth they have prepared. And then guess what? Icing on the cake. You'll also go down in all of the high schools and all the elementary schools, the big poster of you, on your name, that the world conquerors, the authority of this world is the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar. Kavod, you'll take for yourself honor, more, that's more valuable, mikol kli chemda, than any precious object. I tell you, two days ago, anyone was near about from what Rav Huttner said, that a person can live without a home for a period of time, without clothing, without food, without water, without air. You can live without air for 4 minutes, but you can't live without kavod, not even for 1 second. Okay, now what does that mean? You can't live without kavod for 1 second? It means dignity. That context, it means dignity. And it's a very true art. Every person needs a little mashahu of satisfaction. Last Friday night, I ate out. I was invited to an ufruf, and I sat next to a woman, an older woman who was a teacher in a girls' school for probably close to 50 years. A very nice conversation with her. I was talking about a lot of things, and she was talking about the difference between the girls now. She's now semi-retired. She still teaches. The girls now, and the girls, let's say, back in the 80s, the 70s. And I said, what's the difference? What's the difference between... So she told me a lot of things. A lot of things she said. One thing she said to me is, today, all the girls, they're way too sensitive. They're all on the verge of committing suicide. She said to me, they're too sensitive. Like, if this goes wrong, the world has come to an end. It's all over. The years ago wasn't like that. People knew how to deal with issues. Parents were able to somehow be mechanech children. They were able to deal with things that do not go their way. And so today, when it doesn't go their way, spoiled. It's all over. Whatever, spoiled, entitlement, society, whatever it is. So it's interesting. Why? Obviously, she's exaggerating, okay? We don't hear about it. She's exaggerating. She's trying to bring out a point. What does that touch upon? It touches upon kavod. When a person doesn't have that kavod, the word suicide is a very dangerous word today. It's a very dangerous thing to talk about in the newspapers. You go to a doctor, the first thing they ask, I had a friend who talked to a doctor. He wasn't well. Now he's all medicated, but Baruch Hashem, he's really good. And the first thing they always ask is, do you have thoughts of suicide? Okay, that's what it is, right? Dennis, is that correct? The first thing a doctor, go to a psychologist or a psychiatrist, come out, the first thing they're going to ask you is, do you have thoughts of suicide? And if the person dear says yes, you're finished. You're going to lock you up. They're not going to let you out of the office. They're going to put you away in the hospital. So it's the first question. Scary question. Why do they say that? Because obviously, where does it come from? Yeah. I believe it comes from kavod. A person doesn't have any self-worth, any value to his life. Value to your life is called kavod. And think about it. If a person needs, here's my thought, if a person needs a mashahu of kavod to stay alive, it only makes sense that if you can expand that kavod, that gives the person the greatest satisfaction in this world, from a secular point of view. If a person, like you need air, a person's on Mars. I don't know, is there oxygen on Mars? No oxygen on Mars? So you need oxygen, right? A small amount.
Last time I was there, I couldn't breathe.
So you need some oxygen. So let's say you have limited oxygen. So you take a breath. Then you have to go hold your breath for a long period. If only you could have, be it on Earth, with this unlimited oxygen. Ah, you can breathe. Okay, you go to Mount Everest. There's no oxygen up there. You gasp for air. The air is very thin. There's very little oxygen. It's hard to breathe. Where are you comfortable? Ah, it's a pleasure where there's an unlimited supply of oxygen. Now think about this. When it comes to life, what keeps a person, what gives a person a desire to live? Kavod. Rav Huna said, you cannot live without kavod for even 1 second. You can live without water, without air, without clothing, without a shelter, but you can't live without kavod for 1 second. So if you need at least a small amount of kavod to live, can you imagine what it would be like to fill up the whole atmosphere with kavod? Where you take kavod and you expand it, you multiply it, that would give a person, oh, wow. You would be intoxicated. It would be like, wow, what an amazing life. And Chazal say that's what Olam Haba is. Olam Haba, there's no food. There's nothing to drink. There's no liquor. There's no smoking. There's a big no smoking sign in Gan Eden. No, not just the no smoking from the Gehenna. There's no smoking, there's no vaping. Okay, there are no women. Not like the Yishmaelim have 70 zoinis there for them. Garnished. There's nothing. What is there? Tzadikim yoshim ve'atroi seyem birashayem v'nenim miziv hashchina. They're wearing crowns. Kavod. Kavod. That's all that's there is kavod. What does that mean? I have no idea what I'm saying. No idea. But that's what it says. And we can appreciate that, because if in this world a person cannot live for one moment without some dignity, some self-worth, that goes to show that kavod is the ingredient of life. It's the battery of life. And just like when something which is essential, the more you have, the more stability you have, the more enjoyment, the more secure you are, if you live in an environment of an intensity of kavod, wow, that would really enhance your existence and your existence. Mm-hmm. And in this world, it's not that much kavod going around. Today, in this world, it's like someone taking out an oxygen. You're living on Mars, and everyone is fighting this one oxygen tank, and everyone is fighting, give me a breath. And then they have to pass around the tank, and everyone's trying to chop, because everyone is chalishing for a little kavod. Everyone, there's only a small amount of kavod to go around. Everyone wants a little kavod because kavod is what keeps a person going to a degree. So could you imagine when there's enough kavod to go around for everyone? It's a whole different type of life. And that's really what it says over here. It says that these people, these kastiyim, gzontai, I'm going to give you everything that you want, but everything you want is going to be fs knege, the kavod, the honor, it's going to be the recognition that you're going to now receive, recognition that you're going to be great, that you conquered the world. It's more valuable, mikol kli chemda. And there's also another thing you have to appreciate about this pasuk, called mikol kli chemda, and that is, Bavel was called an am bozui me'oid. You find this very, very interesting. You find this very, very often. People who never had a taste of kavod, they really want it. And the people that already had the kavod, they see it's all garbage. And they have no interest in it. They really, they just like the pensu, you know, okay, the pensu are the Islam egomaniacs, that it's never enough. We know that. But you see a person that they really, they come from nowhere. They never had this experience of being in the limelight, of being on television, or being go to a baseball game. Oh, you know, you go and the camera focuses upon them, they're on television, and it's like they're intoxicated by it. And then there are other people who had this already. They're famous people. They're not interested. They don't want it. This, you tell a person who was always in the limelight, who has experienced kavod, and knows that in this world, kavod is garbage. It's worthless. In fact, it's poison. You say, you get a lot of kavod. Yeah, thank you very much. Have a nice day. You tell a person that never experienced it, and you're going to get a lot of kavod, they're intoxicated. Here, who is Hashem appealing to? He's appealing to the biggest lowlives in the world, the kastim. The kastim, it says about them, Am bozui me'oid. It's a pasuk that says you are despised. You're cockroaches. You're nothing. You're shirotzim. You're garbage of garbage. When you tell garbage, guess what? You're going to be tonight on television, and the whole world's going to be seeing you. They go crazy. They go crazy. You tell someone who every night's on television, you say, oh, you don't have a day off tonight. Go out to dinner with your family. Oh, thank Baruch Hashem. A day off. I don't need the COVID. Thank you very much. And anyway, I know anything I say is just a material fodder for them to come after me later on. You over here, Hashem is appealing to the kasdim and am bozui me'oid. And to these type of people, this is bait. This is real bait. When you say kovoid, mikol klichemda, they go for it. They go for it. Okay, so no, that...
Ben Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, Kavod lev paro mehen shalai et ha'am. Me'ani achved et libo. Ve'achved paro et libo ve'lo shalai et ha'am. What does mean here in the Kavod?
So there it says, Vayachved Hashem hardened. Kavod, that's what he said. Kavod is a two meaning. Honor, if you pronounce it kavod, it means honor. Kavod, it's like all the other saying something very good. It's like all these other things. Yishrosh, another word you could add to the list. We have a very, very long list of words we've come across in Tanakh where it's the same shayrish, and when you manipulate its vowels, it turns inside out, upside down. The classic word is yishrosh, yisharish. The same exact letters. When you read it yishrosh, the translation is it will take root. To take root in the ground. Yisharish, it will be uprooted. Same thing, kavod, honor, dignity, you're special. Kaved, it's a bird, I'm being crushed. Someone is stepping on me. They're pressing me down. I'm a nothing, I'm a lowlife. They view me to be garbage. So it's the same exact thing. Kavod, spelled, pronounced, kavod means elevation. Kavei, the same exact word, when you manipulate the vowels, it means you're basically despised. Or it's a burden, it's heavy, it's hard, not movable. Okay, that's all I know about. Let's have to go further. Let's go further. Now let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk, on the next page, pasuk yud aleph. Buka Ritzon Eloimar Ninve Tishoer Reka Ucherusa Min Ha'esher. Okay, another word. Remember, I told you there are many words for destruction. I told you there's a very long list. It's the longest. There has to be the word for destruction in Tanakh and Biblical Tanakh. There has the most synonyms. And here is another word to add to the list. Buka. Buka means Tishoer Reka, empty. Ucherusa, cut down. Min Ha'esher, from the wealth. The lev nomes, libami and nomes, migodel hacharada, the citizens will be terrified, their hearts will melt due to the terror. The kishlan birkaim iblichaizek, their knees will stumble because there'll be no strength in the knees. Uvichol mosnayim, yeye chal chala, there will be terror, viraad, laval, yuchlu lamad al mosnayim, they will not be able to stand still. Kibitzu parur, Pnei kulam yishcha. So he learns over here a very interesting pshat, that the word parur means a pot. And he's saying over here, the bottom of the pot. Where does it say the bottom of the pot? Doesn't say. He's making this up. He's injecting this in the pshat in the context that their faces will turn black like the bottom of a pot. Pnei kulam yishchar will become black. Ki ilu kibitzu, it collected. Kol hashacharus, all of the ashes, the soot, sheyesh, Bakedera hanishchara me'ashan ho'esh, from the smoke of the fire. So read the pasuk inside. Pasuk alf buka umevuka umevulaka. The same similar word three times. Is that interesting? The word buka umevuka means empty. Umevulaka means kerisa, to cut down, destroyed. Where does that word come from? I don't know. I never heard that word before. Umevulaka. Okay, what's the shorish? Beis lamed kuf, bolok. Vayar bolok ben sipar. Bolok was called cut down. Is that an interesting connection? Over here it says the word umevulaka means to be cut down, destroyed. If you want to suggest that the Beis Lamed Kuf is the Shoresh, that means that Balak ben Baor, Balak ben Sipar, his name has the same Shoresh as cut down. Okay, then the Leiv Nameis, people will be, their hearts will melt. Ufik Birkayim. That's also an unusual word, ufik. And he's saying it means to stumble. What? That's bokeh. That's no lamed. That's without the lamed.
Well, who says the lamed's part of the?
It's a different word. Look at the word. Shoresh. Look at the word. The word is buka umivuka.
Buka. There's no lamed there. Why not?
Then no. The third word. The third word. There are three words in the pasuk. There is buka, umivuka. Those two words are exactly the same. And then there's a third word, umivuloka. There's a repetition of the word buka umivuka, and then there's a third word, and that third word is not the same shayrish, a different word. And the Mitzvot David says,
broken.
Right, it means kerusa. And what is the first two words, buka umivuka, empty. Empty and broken. Okay, so they're different words. Your hearts will melt, ufik. Ufik is also a new word to us. What does it mean, ufik? So it means to stumble. Where in the world, where does the word stumble come from? Kishloin yofik. From Yirmi, quotes from Yirmi. Okay, ufik birkaim, your knees will stumble. Vichalchala, that's the Megillas Esther. Vatischalchal hamalka meod. Okay, what does Chazal say on that word? Vatischalchal hamalka meod, melamed, sheperisha nida. She became a nida.
One
interpretation. She was terrified.
And the other word is, what's there? Like, in shock. She had a hysterectomy. Like.
She was in shock. She was in terror. V'chal chola b'chol mosnayim u'fnei chulam kibesu paror. This is a very interesting pshat. And all the citizens have their faces that become black, like the bottom of a pot. Kibesu means to collect the face, to collect the collection of soot on the bottom of the pot. That's what they all look like. All right, three psukim according to the Mitzudas. Let's see now Rashi. Rashi going back to Pasuk Tes. The previous page 558. Also desolation. Emptiness. Bokeh means like a rake. Like it means rake. Bokeh. Like that we have more often. Buka is emptiness. But the word umivulaka with the lamed, I don't recall. That's something that's a little bit new to us.
What that means, you're not some bezizah.
To spoil bezizah means bezas mitzrayim. Bezas mitzrayim, the spoils of war. The spoils of war. That's all it means. Okay, let's go further. Let's go back. Pasuk Rashi, go to Rashi. Rashi, v'ninve kivreichas mayim mimeihi miyoyim shehi nases yosho b'shalva v'ein meinid. Kivreichas mayim mechusim, from the day that it was established, it was in peace and serenity. The Ein Meinid, it did not shake. No one ever bothered them. Just like Kibrechas Mayim, Mechunasim, She'ein Zazim, Mechaimam, you have a pool of water, the water is inside, and the water is not moving. So notice right away that Rashi has a very different interpretation than the Mitzudos David. The Mitzudos David said very simply that the city is blessed with every material possession that the world has to offer, just like a spring of water, which is a symbol. A berecha is a symbol, a spring.
Or a pool that's never empty.
They don't lie. Never empties out. According to the Mitzudos, a pool of water is a symbol of prosperity. Rashi disagrees. Rashi says kivrechas mayim means undisturbed. A breich of mayim means a pool of water. The water is quiet, it's calm. There are walls on all 360 degrees. The water is not disturbed. Likewise, we're trying to describe here the sense of peace and tranquility that was found in this city. People were relaxed. People had no daigos. Nothing to worry about. They were laid back. It was easy going. There are certain parts of the people will tell you, they go on vacation to certain places, parts of this world, and they come back, they tell you that the people there, they're just laid back. Everything opens very late, and they don't work very hard, and they're very at ease. In New York, it's a It's a rough place, New York. Everyone's wherever you go, everyone's trying to, you know, cut you off. You sit in the car, and if you don't already have your foot on the pedal, as you look on the side where it's counting down, 3, 2, 1. If you already don't have the foot on the pedal when it says 1, the guy behind you already is honking, right? That's New York. You go to some cultures, they don't punk you. You don't want to go. Take your time. It comes to a stop sign. Where in the world, else in the world, I mean, in New York, I mean, does anyone any more stop for a stop sign in New York? You have a stop sign? Does anyone come to a complete stop, I should say? A complete stop?
A roll.
Who comes, you know, you take a drive, when you learn to drive, they tell you, you come to a complete stop. And they'll test you on this when you get your license, a complete stop. Some people, the last time they ever came to a complete stop was on their exam, the driver's exam. And that was the last, every other time is, you know, you slow down. You take a look, you slow down. New York! Okay, it's a rough place in New York. But other civilizations, they're calm. You know, they're relaxed. It's a different type of life. Nineveh was the ultimate. It was undisturbed. They lived a life of peace and serenity. This is not what the... What? The people. The people. Very different than Rashi. Rashi, you have that. You have
film already of people at a stoplight who were the first car at the light. When the light changed, they honked and there was no one in front of them. They just out of reaction. they showed a film, the lead car honked.
Wow. Ad kedei kach. Okay, that's how it is.
We have a symphony orchestra.
Welcome to New York. When I go to Boston, my sister lives in Boston, so someone told me in Boston that in Boston everyone knows that if you have a New York license plate, stay far away. When you're on the road, you know, Massachusetts, you know, that's good. New York, oh, it's like wind all over you. Danger, stay away. Unpredictable what this guy is going to do on the road. Beware. I think that's the attitude. When they see New York license plates, and there aren't that many there, but they see, this guy is a danger to society. Nineveh. What?
Did you ever try and drive in Boston?
Yes, I'm talking about.
That's the worst place.
What?
Yeah, Boston's nuts. Because everything is 2 blocks at a dead end. It's only 2 streets that run the city.
Ways. You need. Yeah, but it's old Cambridge. It's the Alte Heim. It's the Alte Heim. It's like, you know, you're going back to the George Washington, Paul Revere. Ah, you know, the Ovis. This is where Paul Revere crossed. Ah, this is George Washington was here. Okay, it's very historical. They appreciate it. There's what to learn. You know, that you appreciate their yichus. Okay, let's finish up. V'ninveh kibrei chas rabbeisar. V'ninveh kibrei chas ma'an me'ekimeh. M'yom shol yinaseh yish yosh m'shal v'vein me'nid. That's the side of the mitzvah of Rashi. Kibrei chas ma'an m'chun nasim, like water that's collected v'zshein zazim m'kaimam. V'heima ata now, me'roi v'doich kam. Lamdu l'anus, now that they're under pressure. They're all going to be refugees. Now that they're being squeezed. The enemy is about to attack. They do not know what to do with themselves. They have to flee. V'nasim. Imdu amaydu. The same thing as the mitzudos, the word imdu amoide is a command given by the government. Do not leave. Do not move. Stay put. You'll be okay. Come, help us. Come join the army. No, the ein mafne, no one is mafne liboy. Now, the mitzudos did not say liboy. The mitzudos says no one is mafne. Does no one turns themselves in to the office of the army to sign up for duty. He learns, Vein Mafna Li, but no one is even paying attention. No one is paying attention to the order given by the government not to run away.
L'shrev l'amoy. What's the difference between Imdu and Amodu here?
Poetry. Imdu means, Amodu is clearly a command. Amodu. Amod. Imdu. I don't know the difference. I don't know.
I think the second one might be even stronger and more desperate.
More intense. Imdu. Amodu has more of a flavor of intensity.
Yeah, right.
So you're Bnei Akiva. Yeah,
I'm old. Imdu.
It's
right. Imdu also is yeah. It must be. It must. It's a poetic expression, which means
they didn't listen. Stand up. They didn't listen the first time, and now they issued a stronger
warning. Stay put. Don't go anywhere. Pasuk Yod Bozu Chesef Haboim Al Ninde was sending us the mitzudos. Hashem is telling the custom, come, take all the money. The Ein Ketzer. There is no end. Ein cheshboin. The money cannot even be counted. There's so much money you can't even count that high. Latechuna leoitz roi sehem al shem shakesef hazav hanosun beotzer nosun bicheshboin is put with calculation. K'mod ad Omar esakesef hamisukon. Now this is very different than the mitzudos David. He learned the word letechuna. It has the shorish of hachona. Hachona means preparation. It means they worked. This country has spent 1,000 years developing itself, technology, and refining itself, and acquiring wealth and assets. Everything that these people worked so hard for, it's all yours. The custom, take it all for yourself. That is not what Rashi says. Rashi says what letechuna means, the money that is counted, in that is calculated. And then we have like an oxymoron. It says there is no. That's part of the expression. Like it fits because it goes well with imdu amoydu. He's playing with words. He's being poetic. Imdu amoydu. Stay put. The ein mafne. Boizu chesa boizu zav. The ein ketzel latuchuna. It's an oxymoron. The what is latuchuna? The money that is counted, going to Fort Knox. On the door, there's a sign that tells you exactly how much money is in here, how much gold and silver. But the truth is, there really is no limit to the money. What do you mean? Latechuna. Latechuna means it's calculated. He translates the word latechuna to mean an exact, precise calculation.
Yeah.
But the number is so high, in our minds, it means nothing. When you say that the deficit of the country is over $1 trillion, does that really register with anyone? Impossible. Can't possibly register $1 trillion. Does anyone have any hasoga what $1 trillion is? So very good. They have a big sign in Times Square showing how the deficit is going up, up, up. Every second it goes up by another $1 million, right? It shows it going up, up, up. So it's calculated. There is an exact science to pay people big salaries in the Pentagon to figure out these numbers, to know exactly what the deficit is. So it is calculated, yet it means nothing to the average person because the number is so massive. What does that number mean exactly? Doesn't mean anything. That's what this pasuk is saying according to Rashi. It's an oxymoron. Ein ketzer latechuna. There is no limit. It's beyond calculation to the number that really is calculated. Because it doesn't mean anything. The number is so great. When you make cheshbon, is how much money do I need to survive? How much is the rent? How much is food? How much is insurance? How much are utilities? You make cheshbon. I need this amount of money a year to survive. So if you tell me you're going to make this, okay, I now have an appreciation. I'm going to have leftover money I can use to go buy a new smartphone. I'll have leftover money to give tzedakah. Or I'm not going to have enough money. I'm in a lot of trouble. I'm not going to be able to go pay the rent. The money has meaning to you. There is a case. But when you say, oh, you have $1 trillion, what does that mean? $1 trillion. Don't take out a calculator. Let's count. 1, 2, 3. We'll count $1 trillion. It doesn't mean anything. So there is a calculation, but the number is so massive that to me it's the ein ketzer latechuna. That's
it keeps going up like a stock market.
Oh, you say that the money keeps going more. It's another pshat. Yeah, okay, no, it's an act. Okay, I hear it's another idea. But it's not the perish of the mitzudos David. Next, let's finish up over quickly. Kavod mikol kli chemda. Now l'shoin hachboda. So he learns it not like this is not referring to honor. According to the mitzvah David Hashem, after you have all this money, what comes after you have money? Kavod. No, that's not what it means. Kavod means kaved, burden. L'shoin hachboda, heavy. Kamo hiskabed kayelek. It is heavy.
No, that's not the translation according to this. It's It means to sweep.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Okay. To sweep, kumoi, his sweep away like a yelek, like a grasshopper. He cleans out the produce, he destroys it. L'shoy, you're right, I'm sorry, to sweep a bias. Okay, ul'chabed oysam, mikol klei chemdasam. Okay, very good. It means, unbelievable what it means here. To sweep out all of the clay chemda.
It's a verb.
A verb. Sweep out. Kavoid, I'm giving you an order. I want you to sweep out every last asset, every last dollar you can find in this country.
It's like plundering.
Plundering, right? It's another word, but over here it's mechabed habayis in Chazal's terminology. That's the famous pasuk v'tatasiya kimat ate hashmet about Bavel. This is something very interesting. We're touching upon them. The Gemara always quotes that pasuk. It says that about what will happen to Nebuchadnezzar. Very popular pasuk. Let me try to remember by heart. V'ta-te-siha. All over Shas. In Brachos, and now also in Daf Yomi. Had it even twice. V'ta-te-siha kimat-ate-hashmet. What do those words mean? Take a broom and sweep. Become a janitor. And upon whom is that pasuk said? It is said about Nebuchadnezzar. Hashem will come, take a broom, and sweep them out. Look what Rashi here has just done. Rashi says, now, Nebuchadnezzar, you take the broom, and you sweep out the nation of Ashur. Bavel built its wealth, built its foundation, built itself upon the foundation of Ashur. Ashur was the world power. Along came Bavel, wiped out the nation of Ashur. And it took all their money, took all of their accomplishments, and used that as the foundation to build its malchus. That's a fact.
Ashur built on
Klal Yisrael, on the world. Who did Ashur primarily build on? Mitzrayim, on Egypt. I think Ashur's primary foundation was built upon Egypt. It conquered Egypt.
Every empire.
Of course. So, but look at this pasuk. According to Rashi, the way we describe the foundation of Bavel is through an act of sweeping. And how does the Torah, how does the Tanakh refer to its destruction? With the same expression, different words, but the same concept of sweeping. Look at the irony. Look at the irony. Bavel was built through an act of sweeping up. And Bavel will be destroyed through an act of sweeping up. Point to Rashi. Because Rashi is fataiching the word kovoid to mean mechabede sabayis, to sweep. Wow. You only the daf yomi, that's a very part, all over Shas. V'tate siya kimat ate hashmet. Hashem will come along and pick up a broom and sweep you out like you sweep out the garbage out of your house.
That's the word they didn't know what it meant. Until you heard his maid use the word.
Until you heard the maid use the word. V'tate siya kimadate hashmeid.
Sweeping the house.
See, you learn Nachum. Who would ever know this? You learn a Rashi and Nachum, and a Rashi and Nachum now really gives you a much deeper appreciation of that pasuk. V'tate siya kimadate hashmeid. Who would ever know such a thing? Only here, you people who learn Nachum, the reason why they are described as being destroyed through an act of sweeping is because the way they established themselves was through an act of sweeping. Isn't that what it says here in this Rashi? We call chemda. Safu mikol monei chemdasa. Safu means to be swept away. The nation of Nineveh will be swept away from all of their treasures. Kavoid. Now that's Rashi is now acknowledging what I'm saying over here is a bit of a stretch. Whoever said that you can say the word kavod in this form, this grammatical form, can mean to sweep. We know mechabet. It should say umechubot mikol klei chemda. The word kavod is not the form that we would expect. Rashi says no, it is.
Started with Bozu, exactly.
So Rashi comes to defend himself and says exactly what you says. Exactly. I'm sorry. I'm right. Even though it's not the way you're not familiar with this form of the word in this expression, because when you have the word in this expression called vod, it always means honor. It doesn't mean sweeping, because you want to refer to sweeping. Typically, the form, the grammatical form, is different. So what? Here, that's the way it's meant to be. If you know the laws of grammar, you'll agree with me. Just like it's a command. Kavoid, kimo zachor, shamar, amar. That's the form. If we're going to say the word kavod means to sweep, the appropriate grammatical form here is I'm giving you a command to take their silver, take their gold. There's no end to the money that they have stored away. That's all now for you. And make sure you do a good job. I come back. I want to see the room swept up. Nice. I want you to sweep out every last crumb that they have in this country. So very good. So you see, now you're building, you're saying a drush here. Look at this. When it comes to Nebuchadnezzar, it was built through an act of sweeping. When it comes to Klal Yisrael, Kimitsula She'ein Bo'idogim. It's a different type of cleaning out. The cleaning out of a net. There are two perushim of what that means, that Egypt will be cleansed. Kimitsuda She'ein Kimitsu, like a net, She'ein Bo Dogim. And Chazal there give two explanations of what that means. Okay, one explanation is that if you have no bait, if you have bait in the net, if you put bait in the net, then the fish come to the bait. And then you have a net, and in the net you have a lot of fish, because the fish are attracted to the net. But let's say you have a mitsula, a trap, she'ein ba dogon, and the dogon, the grain, is the bait, and you don't put any bait in the trap, and then you pull out the net. What's in the net? Nothing. Nothing is in the, you know why there's nothing in the net? Because there was no bait. So you're very disappointed. Someone forgot to put the bait in the trap. If someone would have put the bait, the dog on the grain, in the trap, then when the fisherman will pull out the net, what will he say? Oh, I have 1,000 fish. I'm going to have lunch today. I have fish. But if the worker forgot to put the bait in the net, you pull out the net, it's kimitsula, a net that's completely empty. She'ein ba dogon, meaning she'ein ba dogon, because there was no bait in the net, that's one of Rashi's perushim. There are two perushim, one there's a very obscure. But it's very fascinating. That is the way Chazal describe the cleaning out of Egypt. How come Chazal did not describe the cleaning out of Egypt like someone takes a broom and cleans out a room? Obviously, there's a different technique. And that different technique must be describing or expressing a very different idea of what the end game is. Egypt, at the end of the day, was their economy was destroyed. Asher, at the end of the day, their economy was destroyed. But it was destroyed differently. One, we have as the metaphor of taking a broom to sweep out, and one, we have a metaphor of an empty net that was used to catch fish. I don't know what it means. You touched upon this right now. It's fascinating.
By Mitzrayim, Yosef, Asaf,
he gathered everything
from the entire world. Everything went,
and all that went into that, and then it went out to Klal Yisrael. They took it.
Maybe one is violence and the other is not.
One is through violence. What are you saying? A net that refers to, it was cleaned out with. Okay, you have to think about it. It's very interesting, the two different ways to describe the same result. The result is the country is in poverty. They're destitute. How did this come about? Well, in Egypt, it came about a metaphor of a net. In Ashur, it comes about through a metaphor of taking a broom and sweeping it out. There's something going on here. There's a message. What the message is, for another time. Okay, you just introduced it right now. You got to think about what the message is. Let's stop here. We're going to learn today.